Imagine being 9 years old, standing on a train platform in rural Minnesota, wearing your best clothes while strangers inspect you like livestock. Your family is gone, your name has been changed, and you're told to smile and look useful. This was reality for nearly 200,000 children transported on orphan trains between 1854 and 1929. A chapter of American history that remained largely forgotten until Christina Baker Klein's novel illuminated their stories. Through the parallel journeys of 91-year-old Vivian Daly and 17-year-old Molly Iyer, we discover how displacement and the search for belonging create invisible bonds across generations, reminding us that the ghosts of our past are never truly gone.
I believe in ghosts. They're the ones who haunt us, the ones who have left us behind. These haunting words open a story about what remains after loss. For 90-something Vivian, the ghosts of her Irish immigrant family, lost in a tenement fire when she was 9, have become more real than many living people. These aren't supernatural apparitions, but persistent memories of those who shaped her life. To Vivian, heaven isn't religious, but a place in the memory of others where our best selves live on. Having lost her family at 9 and her true love at 23, she's carried these ghosts for decades, their memory guiding her through grief. This relationship with the past contrasts with 17-year-old Molly's approach. While Vivian integrates her ghosts into her identity, Molly resists her history, using goth makeup and piercings as armor against rejection. Yet beneath different exteriors, both women carry similar wounds, the trauma of displacement and the struggle to trust after profound betrayal.
When Molly faces juvenile detention for attempting to steal Jane Eyre, her boyfriend suggests an alternative, helping his elderly employer clean her attic for community service. Though reluctant, Molly agrees to meet 91-year-old Vivian Daly. Their first encounter reveals an unexpected connection. Vivian comments on Molly's skunk-stripe hair and gothic appearance, yet shows insight by connecting it to her Native American heritage. When Molly reveals she's Penobscot and in foster care, Vivian discloses, "By your definition, I was an orphan too." Their similarities run deeper than apparent. Both lost parents young and entered systems that viewed them as problems rather than children. Both experienced cultural erasure, Vivian forced to abandon her Irish heritage, Molly disconnected from her Penobscot roots. Both developed protective shells where vulnerability meant danger. What begins as an awkward arrangement evolves into something meaningful as they sort through Vivian's past. For Molly, who was bounced between foster homes for years, Vivian's story offers something precious, evidence that survival is possible, that identity can endure when everything else is lost.
In 1929 New York, 9-year-old Niamh Powers' immigrant family finds only poverty instead of prosperity. When fire destroys their tenement apartment, Niamh loses her entire family. With no American relatives, she becomes a burden to society and nobody's responsibility. The fire destroys her childhood both literally and metaphorically. At the Children's Aid Society, Niamh is prepared for the westbound orphan train. Matrons criticize her appearance while teaching her how to seem presentable to potential adopters. When they try taking her pewter clad Celtic cross, her last possession from Ireland, she fights to preserve this final connection to her heritage. On the train, Niamh forms tentative bonds with other displaced children, especially a streetwise boy called Dutchie and a baby named Carmine. These relationships offer temporary comfort, though separation likely awaits them. This journey reveals the callous system that treated children as commodities. These urban, often immigrant children were expected to be grateful for any placement, with little regard for their emotional needs or cultural identities. Niamh's first placement with the Burns family exposes the exploitative nature of many orphan train adoptions. Mrs. Burns states plainly, "We do not have any interest in being surrogate parents, but if you are respectful and hardworking, you will be treated fairly." The Burns erase Niamh's identity by renaming her Dorothy despite her objections. Life with them is harsh. She sleeps on a hallway pallet, uses an outdoor privy, and faces locked refrigerators to prevent her taking food. During economic hardship, Dorothy finds unexpected community among the seamstresses, particularly elderly Fanny, who becomes a surrogate grandmother. This pocket of warmth shows how children created connections to preserve humanity in dehumanizing circumstances. Dorothy's second placement with the Grote family is worse, a dilapidated shack and a neglectful mother. Mr. Grote initially seems kind, but eventually attempts to sexually assault her. When Mrs. Grote discovers them, she blames Dorothy and expels her into the night, illustrating the lack of protection for these children. After rescue by her teacher, Dorothy finally finds stability with the Nielsens, who adopt her as Vivian, a name change representing a conscious choice rather than an erasure of identity. Decades later, as Molly helps Vivian sort through her attic, both women confront painful truths. Vivian reveals that after reuniting with Dutchie, now Luke, as an adult, tragedy struck when he died in World War II. Grief-stricken and pregnant, Vivian made a decision she'd regret for decades, giving away their baby daughter. When Molly's relationship with her foster mother deteriorates, she finds refuge with Vivian, who welcomes her without hesitation. Their relationship evolves into an unexpected, genuine connection across generations. Together, they search for Vivian's daughter, discovering that Sarah Donnell had registered with an adoption registry years earlier. The novel's exploration of portaging, the concept Molly researches for school, serves as its central metaphor. Just as travelers must decide what to carry across difficult terrain, Vivian and Molly must determine which parts of their pasts to preserve and which to release. The objects in Vivian's attic become tangible representations of this process, some worth keeping for their connection to meaningful memories, others better discarded for new possibilities. Orphan Train celebrates resilience, the human capacity to endure unimaginable loss and still find meaning and joy. Through Vivian's journey from Irish immigrant to orphan train rider to successful businesswoman and elderly mentor, we witness how identity persists despite attempts to erase it, how the human spirit maintains its essence even when everything external is stripped away. For Molly, Vivian's story offers evidence that survival is possible, that childhood circumstances need not determine one's entire life. In Vivian, she finds not just temporary shelter, but a model for integrating difficult experiences into a meaningful narrative rather than being defined by trauma. The novel reminds us that history lives on in individual experiences and stories passed between generations. The orphan trains stopped running in 1929, but their legacy continues in descendants' lives and our understanding of America's treatment of vulnerable children. As Vivian and Molly look toward reunion with Sarah, the novel suggests that reconciliation remains possible even after decades of separation. What makes us who we are isn't what we've lost, but what we choose to carry forward.